Chapter 37 Spear and Olive. "Olive, look out!" Chadan cries. The demon leaps at me from above as we pass an abandoned clay dwelling. It moves so fast, I barely see more than tooth and talon and razor scales. I pivot, bringing my shield into position. My spear drops low, ready to stab up beneath once the alagai fetches against the wards. I needn't have bothered. Fasik, Thivan, and Parkot close ranks around me before the demon even gets close, overlapping their shields in a clover lock. The demon is only 4 feet from snout to tail, but sand demons are heavier than they look. 200 pounds of tooth and claw and cabled muscle slams against the shields, but the wards flare, absorbing the impact. My brothers are braced against the rebound, and the formation holds. Like synchronized dancers, we break apart as Gorvan steps up and thrusts his spear, skewering the demon through its poorly armored belly as it hangs in mid-air. Gorvan falls back, guiding with his spear as gravity does the work of throwing the alagai into the kill zone at the center of our unit formation. No sooner has the demon struck the ground than it is pierced by half a dozen spears. Still, the pinned creature thrashes. I spin my weapon across my shoulders and bring it down hard enough to behead the demon with the broad blade of my spearhead. "Are there more?" I look to Jadan, but our car isn't watching. He's kept his eyes forward, trusting his warriors to neutralize the threat as watchers report in. This neighborhood is crawling with them. Chadan's voice is tight. An entire pack of sand demons broke off chase from the betas of Kai Fizer's Viper unit, a dozen at least.
"And the Shiroom car sends us to clean it up," Gorvan spits, "while the pampered Vipers sip koozie, safe in their warded ambush pocket."
Chadan whirls on him so quickly the larger boy stumbles back. "The Shiroom car sent his best men." He clashes his spear against his shield. "That's my cue. Let the other Kai cower in their hiding places while we rob them of glory. Do we fear a pack of," I pause to spit, "sand demons?" Our warriors clash their spears against their shields in response.
"No, my princes."
The men have good reason to be afraid. I feel it, too. But there's nothing to be done but embrace the feeling and let it go. Some parts of the maze are carefully crafted to bestow every advantage on the Shiroom holding the ground. But most parts are like this one, flattened neighborhoods our ancestors ceded to the alagai in their retreat after the return. Abandoned homes, schools, temples, public fountains and marketplaces. Like a layer of Ni's abyss, the terrain is a reminder of our fate. Should we falter before the alagai? Over the years, the Shiroom scavenged some buildings for material to reinforce others, providing layers of protection for warriors as they advance from the safety of the inner city, or draw the demons into traps with a choreographed retreat. The walls here are unwarded, encouraging the predatory instincts of the alagai as they chase warriors to ambush points. But that works against us when the demons break off pursuit. With ample cover, the alagai make full use of their natural advantages. Sand demon talons are hard as steel, and they can cling to walls and ceilings as easily as flat ground. Worse, they hunt cooperatively. Those we see are dangerous enough, but it's the unseen ones that keep my stomach in a twist. Given a moment's surprise, a sand demon can take down a strong warrior before he can bring his weapon to bear. But neither are the alagai prepared for my brothers and me. Comprised of an entire crop of Ni Shiroom from every blood and caste, we are the largest unit in the maze. The oldest of us are younger than any other warrior in Krasia, the youngest not yet at their full strength, yet we top the kill counts night after night. I was scared of the maze at first, scared of getting hurt or scarred or dying. But more and more, I hunger for it during the day. Here, with Chadan, surrounded by my brothers as death comes for us, is where I feel most alive. I break the warriors into shield teams to search the buildings as others keep watch on the streets. Chadan's scouts come and go as he directs the overall operation. We corner a pair of demons in back of one of the cramped buildings, but as we press the attack, two more drop down from a hidden ledge. They're getting smarter. Fasik shield bashes one of the demons in midair, knocking it prone for Levan and Parkot to stab. Levan is not so quick, and the other demon lands on his shoulders, driving him to his knees with the impact. I am closest, but I can't risk hitting Levan with a spear thrust, and a shield rush won't knock it away before it can rip out his unarmored throat. Instead, I drop my spear and shield, reaching out to grab the demon's rigid tail. Like a thousand shards of glass, the demon's scales shred the thick leather of my gloves as its tail writhes in my grip, but I am able to yank it off Levan in time. The sand demon falls backward towards me. I let go of the tail and snatch one of its wrists, snaking the other hand under its armpit for a hold behind its head. I dropped my back, hooking my ankles around its powerful thighs. The Alagai is stronger than me, but I am not afraid. I have leverage and physics on my side, redirecting its limbs to keep the demon off its feet. It throws its head back, nearly managing to gore my face with its horns. But then, my brothers are there. Menin and Parkot still carry the clubs they used that first night we fought, though with stronger wardings. They use them now to batter and stun the demon, while Fasik and Thivan produce heavy cleavers that look more suited to a butcher shop than a warrior's kit. They hack the demon to pieces with the warded blades, showering me in black ichor that sizzles against my armor's wards. We continue our steady press, clearing buildings and exterminating demons as we sweep the neighborhood. Fasik chops the horns from every demon we kill, 14 sand demons in total, before we pronounce the neighborhood clear.
The princess unit returns!
Kai Pfizer calls as we join the warriors, mustering for count before dawn. Pfizer pronounces it princess, and I bristle, knowing it is an insult directed at me. I've heard other Sharum using it. There are sniggers from the crowd. Pfizer is larger than me, but past his prime. As a fellow Kai, there is nothing stopping me from blacking his eye. I take a step forward. Peace, brother. Chadan's gentle hand on my arm is all it takes to calm my raging heart. Inner peace radiates from my Ajin Pal, and when I am with him, sometimes I can find just a little of it.
I am glad to see you well, Kai Pfizer, Chadan calls. I feared you might have injured your backside, sitting while we cleared the Alagai your betas lost.
Many of the mustard warriors laugh at that, and it is the Viper unit's turn to bristle. Kai Pfizer looks ready to retort when Chadan lifts a finger. On cue, Fasik takes the sack off his shoulder and drops it to the ground, spilling sand demon horns into the dust. The sight quiets whatever Pfizer was about to say, and even the other Kai stare jealously at the pile.
Well done, my precocious warriors, Irithen calls, striding over with his hands spread. What you lack in years, you make up in ferocity.
A niggle of irritation returns at the sight of my brother. Irithen's bravery is undeniable, but the band around my arm is a constant reminder that I cannot trust him. His words sound like praise, but there is condescension in them as well. But there is no condescension from Irithen's tallyman, who counts the horns, making a note in his ledger. Our purses will be full this week.
Any losses? Irithen asks.
None, Chadan says proudly. We haven't lost a warrior in the weeks since waning, though we have been in the thick of battle almost every night. We still train with Chika during the day and keep the youngest from the front lines, but all have shed blood and ichor in the maze. There is good cheer as we return to the pavilions for meat and couscous.
Join us in the harem, brothers,
Gorvan calls, his arms already around the necks of Menin and Parkot.
Let the Jiwa Sharum soothe the aches from your body.
My face heats, and I look away as Gorvan laughs, half dragging the others along with him. When we've been seen and congratulated our brothers, Chadan and I steal away to the sweat room. It has become a ritual now, wearing only towels as we scrape the sweat from each other, seeking out the many scrapes and bruises of a night's battle and lovingly tending them. Tales of the demon war lionize elders who put down canes and picked up weapons when all seemed lost. Magic shaved whole summers off their bodies, slowly nudging them toward their physical primes. But the changes magic wrought upon those who lifted a warded spear or axe before their full growth were no less pronounced. Feedback magic has wrought changes on all my spear brothers in the weeks since we entered the maze. But I am most intimate with the changes upon Chadan. He is taller and heavier with muscle, voice deepened, and a beard beginning to shadow his cheeks. I, too, have put on inches and pounds of muscle, but my voice, never high to begin with, hasn't changed significantly. Neither has more hair sprouted on my face than the occasional stray Grandma Milona used to mercilessly pluck. My breast has broadened, but not the heavy swell of Mother or Grandmum. Nothing that would show through Sharum robes, much less armor. Here in the sweat room, my reflection simply seems thick with muscle from the front, but in profile, I have a more feminine shape. Chadan has never commented on it, but I've taken to wearing my towel higher to flatten my shadow. With magic augmenting our healing, even Chadan's wounds are all closed. Scabs slough away as I run the sweat scraper over his shoulder, revealing pink lines of flesh on his brown skin. Soon even those will darken to his natural color. You need better armor, I note. They found the seam between the plates in your robe. Chadan leans back into the brush. Father has already commissioned something worthy of the heir of Marja. Now that he has earned the white veil, Chadan has come back into the family wealth he was denied while in Ni Sharum robes. I can see how it discomforts him after so long in the austerity of Sharaj. His response has been generosity, using his personal funds to outfit warriors with fine spears, shields, and armor plates of light, indestructible warded glass tucked into the pockets of their robes. Despite the new equipment, many, like Menin and Parkot, still carry as well the crude weapons they made themselves that first night, tucked away, like my hands are, for use if they are ever separated from their spears. I shudder, remembering how just a few short hours ago I dropped my spear and shield, wrestling a sand demon with my bare hands. In the heart of battle, I hadn't given it a second thought. But now it feels so reckless, a move born of desperation. The Alagai are getting smarter, I say. Chadan nods, dodging the baiters, choosing favorable terrain, luring us into a building where their clutch mates lay in wait. There are similar reports from all over the maze. He shakes his head. I should not have shamed Kai Pfizer and the Vipers. We may need their loyalty one day. They insulted us first. The vehemence in my tone surprises even me. Battle magic doesn't just make you strong. It heightens emotions, anger chief among them. I regulate my breath, calming myself. The Vipers are an ambush unit, Chadan says, and good at what they do. But they are used to preparing every inch of their terrain, knowing where the enemy will be and where they can retreat to. They would have been torn apart hunting sand demons through abandoned buildings. Pfizer knows this. His G-ring was just a weak attempt to salve his pride. He shakes his head. I must rise above such things, if I mean to lead. Your brother may have given us the Viper's glory, but we did not need to take their honor as well. I fear Irvin is deliberately sowing dissent between us and the other units. I hadn't thought of that. To what end? Chadan purses his lips and does not reply. I put down the scraper and knead his shoulders with my hands, working the knots from his muscles with strong fingers. My brother kidnapped me from my home and sold me to your father. I have no love for him, but why would he want to turn the other warriors against us? Think on it, Chadan says. My grandfather will sit on the Skull Throne for another decade at least. If he lives as long as his predecessor, it could be three times that. And my father is still young. I will never be Dimaji while he lives. To prevent me from becoming a rival, they made me take the black, with the intent of making me Sharum Ka. At last, I understand. But then the storms worsened, and a Sharum Ka was needed while you were still in your Bido. Chadan nods. Prince Irvin was already a man, the most famous Kai in the maze, and ambitious. Your father still has loyalists among the Maja, those who feel shame for deserting the Deliverer's army on the eve of Sharak Ka. They count many warriors among their number, and follow the son of Jardir. When the Alagai returned in force, Grandfather gave him more and more dangerous tasks, hoping to see him fail and his threat be removed. But he never failed, I say. Chadan nods. Irvin's loyalists and seer mother keep him safe. And now that he has the power, he's doing to us what my grandfather did to him. We will be sent into the thick of every battle until we are dead or our glory outweighs his. That's insane. Even as I say the word, I realize it isn't the one I'm looking for. Monstrous. And to what end? I'm no threat to him. I wouldn't even be here if not for him. Dharmating Belina's dice produced a convenient prophecy that allowed Irvin to trade his sister for the white turban, Chadan says. But I wasn't a sister, I say, feeling that awful twisting in my gut. A daughter of Arman Jardir is a limited threat. A son, however. No one wanted that, I say. Chadan shrugs, smiling in a way he would never dare in front of the other warriors. I don't mind. I stare, smiling like an idiot, until he clears his throat. Even if you were no threat to Irvin, certainly I am. If I prove myself in the maze, I will be seen as his natural successor for the White Turban. So long as Jardir loyalists control the warriors of the tribe, Grandfather is not fully in control. Perhaps that's a good thing, I say. A balance of power does more to keep the peace than men's honor. I assure you, I want the White Turban no more than you, Chadan says. But if I am forced to choose between glory in the maze and dying for your brother's convenience, I will choose glory. From your lips to Everarm's ears, I say. We leave the private sweat lodge and go into Jadan's pavilion. It's not just the men who benefit from our car's new wealth. His pavilion is lavish, with fresh towels and robes of black silk waiting for us. We spend our days luxuriating, eating fresh fruit and a rich variety of savouries that seem all the more decadent after months of nothing but gruel, couscous, and spiced meat. The air in the Sharum Pavilion is hot and thick, a rank mix of spiced sweat and koozie breath, coupled with the ever-present nostril-burning stink of vomit from overindulgent warriors trying to forget the maze. The air in Chadan's pavilion is cool, lightly scented with incense and bowls of dried flowers. Instead of scooping cups from a communal bucket, we drink cool water from crystal glasses with speared olives floating atop them to add flavour. A chilled pitcher collects moisture on a tray, with servants waiting to refill it. It feels so decadent, but I can't deny I love it. Longed for it. I was raised in a place like this. And unlike pampered Princess Olive, I have earned the luxury, trading blood for ichor in Alagai Sharak. Why shouldn't I wear silk during the day, when each night might be my last? There is glory yet to come for the Princess Unit, I say. Outside this chamber, the name is an insult, but between us, it is a private joke, warm and intimate as a caress. In Evera, Chadan touches his water with a fingertip, letting a single drop fall to the carpet. The ritual sacrifice of something so precious is meant to fend off the misfortune that befalls those who are prideful before Evaram. The vipers have snakes painted on their shields, I note, and sewn as patches on their robes. Our men wear only their house emblems, if they even have one. Chadan's armor, robe, and shield are adorned with the lone spear of the Maja tribe. My own are blank. You are son of Arman Jadir, Chadan says. You have every right to bear House Jadir's sigil. I shake my head. I could draw the spear, cloak, and crown of father's house sigil with my eyes closed, but I have never felt a part of it. I don't even know him, Chadan, or him me. I am not Olive Am Jadir. I am Olive Paper. Then your mother's sigil, Chadan suggests. My mother's sigil is a mortar and pestle surrounded by herbs, I say. It doesn't precisely fill enemy hearts with fear. Most established units have their own emblem, Chadan muses. It gives the men pride. Perhaps it's time we made our own. My nose crinkles as he falls into my trap. I already have. I tug at my collar, folding back the lapel of my robe to show the icon I embroidered onto the silk. I worried my hands had lost their touch, but making clothes was my first love, and my needlework is nimble as ever. Chadan leans in for a closer look. The sigil I've made resembles the spear of Maja, but driven through an olive, much like the ones flavouring our drinks. Not the most fearsome sigil, I acknowledge, but better than a mortar and pestle. Chadan shakes his head. It's perfect. I fold back my lapel to hide the patch again, giving the spot a soft pat. I keep it close to my heart. I don't bother to retighten my robe as I lean in close. I made one for you. If you want. Chadan touches my face gently, but the world falls away until all I can feel are his fingers. I would wear it with pride. I reach into my satchel, producing a patch and a needle with fine thread. Gently, I fold back his robe, baring a bit of chest as I measure the length of his lapel to position the patch properly. I take the needle to stitch it in place when Chadan lays a hand over mine. No. I look at him, confused for a moment, then increasingly stung, as the word hangs in the air. Chadan pushes it aside with a kiss. We share them frequently now, when alone in his pavilion. His lips linger on mine until the tension leaves me. Gorvan and the others might need to prove themselves men in the harem, but Chadan and I are in no hurry to move on to other things when sharing warmth and kisses still feels stolen and triumphant. Some things we have to hide, Chadan whispers, taking the patch from me. But not our brotherhood. He lets his lapel fall back into place and lays the spear and olive directly on the front of his robe, over his heart like other Sharum units. Sew it here. I lift the needle, but my hand is shaking. Wearing the patch openly credits us both with leadership of the prince's unit, something the other Kai have refused to acknowledge. But more, it declares our partnership. For once, I don't have to hide. I may still wear a shackle, but I have never felt so free.